When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Trevor Woods here with SB Nation's Maize and Brew. Michigan's next opponent, the Nebraska Cornhuskers, a team that is definitely in transition. Fired Scott Frost earlier in the year. Had a little bit of a hot streak against Indiana and Rutgers. A couple wins in a row with interim head coach Mickey Joseph. But Cornhuskers, they have lost the last three to Purdue, Illinois, and Minnesota last week, 20-13. That's what's going on as Nebraska heads into Ann Arbor to take on the number three Wolverines, who are 9-0 on the season now. But to learn a little bit more about Nebraska, I'm speaking with Luke Mullen from the Lincoln Journal Star. How are we doing today, Luke?
I'm doing great, Trevor. Thanks for having me on. It's actually a very unseasonably warm day here in Lincoln, but I'm not expecting the same once we head up to Ann Arbor, huh?
No, I mean, and that's the thing, you didn't luck out this time around. It's going to be around 70 tomorrow in Ann Arbor on Thursday, but around kickoff, it's going to be hovering in the mid-30s, so definitely that crisp Midwest air. Is this the first time you've been to the Big House, or were you there back in 2018 as well?
Yeah, I was at the 2018 game where Nebraska pretty much got destroyed out of the gate. I think it was like a 35-point game at halftime or something ridiculous like that. Nebraska didn't even get on the board till the second half. So it's gonna be a big challenge for Nebraska this time around as well. But I'm thinking maybe they can actually score some first half points this time. We'll see.
We'll see. And speaking of how their offense is doing, there's been a few quarterbacks at least who have took some snaps for the Cornhuskers this season. Last week it was Logan Smothers and Chubba Purdy. Could you talk about who we should expect to see at quarterback for Nebraska on Saturday?
Absolutely. I think honestly it is trending more towards Logan Smothers because he did perform a lot better against Minnesota than Chubba Purdy did. And the reason why I think we've seen kind of this balance between these two different backup quarterbacks is that Smothers is a guy who was recruited under Scott Frost, very much fits that style of zone read, quick throws, a guy who's athletic with his legs, can make plays when the plays break down, he needs to scramble and do some things. That's kind of more Smothers' style of play versus you get Chubba Purdy, a guy who offensive coordinator Mark Whipple helped recruit to Nebraska in the offseason, a guy who he knew might need to play, and the coaching staff has been very vocal in saying that They trust Trevor Purdy more as a pure passer from what they've seen from him in practice in particular. But really, that has not translated to the actual games. Purdy has struggled mightily when he's been out there. Poor decisions. Looks pretty frazzled there in the pocket versus Smothers. You know, he's a guy who, yes, he's not perfect. He's not a pocket passer by any means, but he does have that playmaking ability, and I think that's a big reason why Nebraska might turn to him for a much bigger impact this week than he had last week.
And speaking of impact, last week it was a loss to a pretty good Minnesota team this year, just a touchdown loss, 20-13. But Anthony Grant seemed to come on strong, 115 yards, 5.5 yards per carry. Should we expect Grant to have the lion's share of the carries on Saturday?
Absolutely. He's been a big revelation at running back for Nebraska. And really, you look at the options behind him, very uninspiring. True freshman A.J. Allen was the backup to start the year. He went down to a season-ending injury. So Nebraska's really leaned on Grant to be that guy. They're expecting Gabe Irvin to be back from a toe turf injury. He may or may not travel and play there on Saturday. But to your point, Grant will definitely be that guy. He's probably going to receive 85% of the team's carries. And in regard to last week's stat line, he actually ran six times for 60 yards on the opening drive alone. Just didn't get it going the rest of the way, even with a good yards per carry average. And, you know, a big reason is Mark Whipple's play calling. This has been a big topic of discussion here in Nebraska. Whipple, a very pass-heavy offensive coordinator, that worked when Thompson was on the field, when Casey Thompson was there. You know, he hit Trey Palmer for all these long passes. It really hasn't worked the last 2 weeks. Lots of folks calling for more run plays, but that would be pretty tough against the Michigan defense that's number one in the nation, huh?
Miles Farmer, the starting safety for the Huskers, he's arrested over the weekend. He's facing a DUI charge. He's going to be suspended. Is that a big deal for the Cornhuskers, him not being there, or do they have somebody that they can insert and they're confident with?
Yeah, it's a huge loss, honestly, for Nebraska in terms of the on-field production. Farmer is a senior safety, and he's actually played the most snaps of anyone on the entire defense. You know, he's hardly left the field. He's been out there 684 snaps this season out of roughly, you know, about 700. So he's been that guy who's been able to line up his teammates, you know, yell at guys from the back end of the field if something's going wrong. And that being said, Nebraska's other starting safety, Marcus Buford, he'll be able to take on a little bit of that vocal leadership role. But in terms of playmaking ability and just being a solid guy who you can count on not to make mistakes, I mean, Farmer's done a good job of that so far this year, and his backups coming in are just going to be way less experienced. Either Phelan Sanford, a guy who's an in-state walk-on, he could be out there, or Deshaun Singleton, an experienced scholarship player, will both be the guys that you look forward to seeing a little bit more at safety. I think it'll be Sanford because he came in against Purdue when Buford got hurt, played 61 snaps in that game. He's had more experience this year, even if he isn't a scholarship kid. Coaching staff believes in him. So,
one area I looked that caused for concern for Nebraska, especially in this one with Michigan's potent rushing attack with Heisman candidate Blake Corum and right behind him pretty good back in Donovan Edwards, but the Cornhuskers, they've definitely had some issues stopping the run this year. As you know, against Georgia Southern, they gave up 233 yards. Last week, they gave up over 100. There was the Illinois game. They gave up 188. I believe that was quite similar against Purdue. Do you think there's any hope that they can corral the rushing attack of Michigan, or is it simply a lost cause in this one?
No, it's a lost cause. I mean, I will say the defensive line has had its moments. I think part of the reason why Nebraska did get those two conference wins against Indiana and Rutgers is because the linemen are doing a great job of plugging their gaps and bottling up this run game. But so many teams have just had a lot of success just running up the gut. Nebraska can't fill those gaps. Suddenly you've got linebackers and safeties trying to make run stops. It's been a major issue. Nebraska's edge rushers as well haven't necessarily done a great job of sealing the edge at all times. You can bounce some runs outside as well. I saw what Michigan did against Penn State. I don't know that they're going to necessarily hit 400 yards against Nebraska, but I will say I've seen a lot of talented running backs destroy this defense, have a heyday, and I think another one's incoming for Blake Corum.
Now, Michigan, they expect to win. Pretty much everybody expects to win, except maybe a few folks in the country. But is there anything that you could point to that, look, Michigan, they play Ohio State in 17 days, right? And they're not looking too far ahead, but every day counts. Everything they do against Nebraska matters in correlation to how they perform against Ohio State. So here's my point. Is there anything that you could see Nebraska doing, and I'm not saying to win the game, but to get some points on offense, and is there one strength on defense, potentially Nebraska, that they can exploit and do something against the Wolverines? So give me a couple big pros on both sides of the ball for Nebraska that you could see something positive happening for them.
Yeah, sorry if I'm being too negative down here. I know the mood in Lincoln has just been a down a couple weeks with, you know, this losing streak and the quarterback issues. But what I will say, offensively, something that they can do is just chuck it to Trey Palmer. I mean, that has been the offensive game plan for most of the season. And Casey Thompson, a guy with great arm strength, he overthrew Palmer a couple times early in the year. You know, a few miscues, you know, potential deep shots, you know, 50, 60-yard touchdowns where Palmer just runs past the coverage and goes deep. Now, we haven't seen that with the backups in the game. A big reason is accuracy. Purdy probably has the arm strength to do it, but doesn't have the accuracy. Smothers more accurate in short throws than deep passes. But if either of those guys could find their, deep passing ability, that would be the way for Nebraska to get some points on the board, chucking it deep to Trey Palmer. And then vice versa on the defensive side of the ball, I do think that Nebraska's linebackers have been pretty solid. Nick Henrich, senior captain, he's out for the year, but Luke Grime, another in-state guy, he's out there. And actually a true freshman, Ernest Hausman, the coaching staff is very high on him. He struggled early in the year. He's come on the last couple weeks. So I think if those linebackers are able to, make those run stuffs and get up to the line of scrimmage, that'll help kind of negate, you know, the really crushing role that that Corum and Edwards can have.
And you mentioned the deep ball, potentially a connection that could help aid Nebraska's offense in this one. And that actually is the one thing that you look at all Michigan's defensive statistics. Pretty darn good against the pass, very good stopping the run. However, even against Rutgers last week, there are some 50-50 balls that Michigan gave up. Same thing the week before against Michigan State. And actually the same thing against Penn State, a team that only had a couple big plays on the day. Michigan ended up killing them on the day. But it's kind of been a common thread throughout Big Ten play for Michigan. And that's definitely something the Wolverines are going to need to look out for this week. So thank you for that analysis, Luke. So you've been a bit negative, but you've been objectively negative. So I don't even know if I can really call you negative when you're spewing out facts. But give us your predictions in this one. And don't be negative. Just be real.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we saw, you know, that the line opened up, you know, 28, 29 and a half. I think it's over 30 right now, which is uncharted territory for, you know, Nebraska as a football program to be such big underdogs. And, I think it's fair. It's totally fair. This offense, you know, last week I said it was hard to imagine, you know, against a very good Minnesota defense that they'd be able to drive down the field for multiple touchdown drives. And I feel the exact same way this week, that Nebraska might have, you know, one, two really good drives in it. And they got to score touchdowns on both of those. You know, they got to score on drives where they're not necessarily clicking, you know, to make this game not go crazy. So I'm going to go 45-10 in Michigan's favor, with the caveat that that those Wolverines, you know, if they score early, I mean, you know, every point matters in this college football playoff era. So I could easily see that score getting a little out of control if they jump ahead quickly.
Yeah, and bonus question for you. Did you go to the game in Ireland against Northwestern?
I did not, unfortunately.
Okay, you would have got free Guinness, though. So you probably should have went.
If only.
Yeah, but that was definitely an incredible scene and a heck of a way to start off the college football season. It ended with a loss for Nebraska. That was certainly a spectacle on television. So I just had to ask about that. But, Luke, thanks so much for coming on. Tell us where our listeners can find your stuff online and find you on Twitter and everything else.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. I appreciate you having me on. You know, look forward to all of our Husker football coverage there at journalstar.com. I'm on Twitter at LJSLuke. If you're looking for some Nebraska tweets, you know, during that Michigan game. But yeah, we'll look forward to seeing exactly how it shakes out there on Saturday.
Exactly. It'll be going down at 3:30 Eastern. I'll be seeing you up in the press box. But for now, thanks to Luke. And you can follow me on Twitter at WoodsFootball. Follow us on Twitter at Maize and Brew. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a review if you'd be so kind. And I will talk to you at the conclusion of Nebraska at Michigan for the post-game reaction podcast. See you then, folks.